Welcome to Storytime by Chava. Today's story is a translated excerpt from the book Chasidim Ve'Anshei Emes, and it is called The Arrest. Winter 5698. Nine Bachrim were learning in the underground yeshivas Temchit Mimim in Berdichev. Six of them were 13 to 15 years old, and three were approximately 18 years old. They learned in a class under the Rosh Yeshiva, Reb Moshe Rubinson. The six young boys were Rafal Brook, Velvel Overbach, Chatzkel Brad, Rafal Volshansky, Shalmdaver Pevsner, and Heschel Zeitlin. The three older boys were Shmuel Itkin, Beryl Gurevich, and Elazar Mogilevsky. Most of them did not come from Berdichev itself. They came from various towns across the country in order to learn there, since they could not learn in their hometown. The Buttons, the officers of the GPU, were going after every cheder and yeshiva, and even arresting children. Although it was difficult for children their age to leave home, they all grew up on Mesiras Nefesh, and already from that young age, it was natural and understandable to them that learning Torah was more important than anything else. It's hard to believe, but material matters, such as where they would live or what they would eat, were truly unimportant to them. Their main desire was that no one should spot them and report them to the GPU so they would be able to return each morning to continue their learning Torah for another day. They learned with their beloved teacher in the women's section on the second floor of the Litvische Shul. They started learning each morning at 5 o'clock, when Reb Moshe would give over his usual lesson. Each person came alone in order not to draw too much attention. The shamash would lock them in from the outside to make it seem like no one was inside. Before the people came to daven would arrive, the shamash would unlock the shul. The boys would all leave and review what they learned two by two, each in another location. And so it continued for several months. For Chof Dalet Teves, the yahrzeit of the Alter Rebbe, it was agreed that all the boys would farbring together with Reb Moshe. That evening, after learning, they gathered in the basement of the Berdichev Shul in the city, which was damp and full of dust. Someone unloaded a bag in which they had concealed several bottles of mashke. Some of the older students covered the windows with cardboards and planks of wood. One of the boys spread a white tablecloth on a table and placed on it the bottles of mashke and various delicacies, bread, herring, some cooked potatoes. The candles flickered and they crowded around the table, head to head, shoulder to shoulder. They washed, said L'chaim quietly, and began to softly sing Chassidishe Negune Dveikus. Just in case, they locked the door from the outside, hoping that if members of the GPU would come knocking, they would be able to exit from the other side. The farbrengen proceeded pleasantly. Reb Moshe Rubinson and Reb Beryl Gurevich told stories and spoke uplifting words. The underlying theme was the need to serve Hashem with complete Kabbalas all, without asking why. We do it because it's the will of Hashem. Reb Moshe explained at length the sin of Shaul HaMelech, who, despite his high level, he sinned and fell because he acted according to reason. Thus it awakened the Bachrim to be meticulous in keeping the daily yeshiva schedule and to cherish every minute. They sat and thirstily swallowed every word. Between the talks, they sang heartfelt Chassidishe Negunim. Everyone was drawn in by the wonderful atmosphere. No one felt the cold which prevailed outside. They all sat around the table, spoke, sang, said L'chaim, and again softly sang Chabad Nigunim. It was 1 hour after midnight when suddenly they heard loud banging on the doors and orders in Russian to open the door. It wasn't necessary to say a word. They all knew who it was. Someone murmured, "At least we managed to farbring." They acted quickly, as if they had practiced a long time for this moment. In an instant, the table was cleared and no student was in sight. Everyone found a hiding place in the second part of the basement, behind objects and broken furniture. In the meantime, the banging got stronger, and the door broke. Officers of the NKVD entered, guns drawn. Heschel sat cramped, and when he heard the footsteps of the soldiers approaching his hiding place, his heart sank with anxiety. However, his mouth whispered a prayer that he would not be discovered, that they would disappear. Not one of the boys succeeded in remaining hidden. The officers of the NKVD held lanterns and searched every hole and crevice throughout the basement and thus found everyone. One by one, they were rounded up near the exit. Those who were already discovered stood there, their eyes filled with hopeless longing as they watched the Buttons officers roughly dragging out another one and another one. It was obvious that someone had reported them. The officers knew the exact number of students and teachers. When they counted them and the number matched their list, they stopped searching. "What are you doing here?" the officers asked Ramesha and Reberyl, the only adults in the group. "We were merely passing, and we saw a light in the synagogue, and we found a group of boys sitting and drinking, and we joined them," the two answered. The officers did not buy this far-fetched explanation. They told everyone to get into single file and go with them to the police station. The shamash of the shul, who was sitting in the hall, also joined them. One of the officers went at the head of the line and the other at the rear. Velvel tried to claim that he did not belong to the group, as he was the only boy who lived in Berdichev, and he just happened to be in the area. The officer looked at him mockingly and, without a word, removed his hat, revealing the yarmulke on his head. After that, he lifted up his shirt and pulled out his tzitzis. "You do not belong to the group," the officer hissed sarcastically. The officers led all the boys to the detention room in the police station, where they remained all night. They were somewhat glad. They hoped they would be able to get away from those officers. The following morning, they were called outside, where a truck for transporting prisoners awaited them. Two officers sat down next to them with weapons in their hands, and the truck went on its way towards the GPU headquarters. Hence, they realized they would not be getting out of this so easily. At dawn, the boys were transferred to the cellars of the NKVD, where they were separated. The younger ones were placed in one cell. The older ones, together with their teacher, Rebel Gurevich, was placed in another cell. Their main teacher, Amisha, was secluded from all of them. The younger boys found themselves in a long cell with bunk beds, which were already occupied by 60 other prisoners, many of them Jews. There was only room available under the bunks, and there they somehow tried to sleep. When they were brought into custody, all of them as one decided that they would not reveal any details, even if threatened with death. They were prepared even for that. The main thing was not to open their mouths. This is how they were trained in their early days in Cheder, when they would chant, "Neder, neder, kenmol nitzagin vegin Cheder. Vow, vow, never tell about Cheder." Every morning, they would memorize to themselves what they would say if they were caught. Now, they implemented their decision not to reveal anything, no matter what. Understandably, Heschel feared the torture, humiliation, and horror which he would have to endure. He was emotional remembering that his father was also currently behind bars for the crime of spreading Torah. Now he too joined the group of Hasidim who sanctified Hashem's name. When they were searched, the strands of their tzitzis were cut off and their tefillin were taken away from them by force. The first interrogation began the next day. The lead interrogator, who was a Jew, tried to elicit answers from the younger boys. What were their names? How old were they? Who were their parents? Where did they live? Who were their teachers? How did they get to Berdichev? The boys' responses were almost identical. "I happen to be in the area. I don't learn Torah here. I don't recognize the other boys or the uncle, the teacher. My parents died and I'm an orphan. I came to Berdichev to find work and food. I hoped to find a place to sleep in the synagogue, and when I heard the banging on the door, I was so frightened I just went and hid." When the interrogators saw that the boys stood their ground and were not conceding, they decided to change their method of persuasion. One night, when they brought in one of the students for questioning, and as usual he denied everything, they suddenly brought in their teacher, Amisha, and had them stand face to face. Rafal looked at him with indifferent eyes, as if he didn't know him. "Who are the boys detained here?" the interrogator asked Ramesha. "My students." "What did you teach them?"
"Torah."
"For how long have you been teaching them?"
"Oh, for a long period of time."
Rafal stood thunderstruck, not believing his ears or understanding what was going on. This teacher, who constantly repeated to them over and over again that one had to withstand tests and overcome all forms of torture and pressure, not to admit anything and not to open their mouth, is suddenly singing? Everything was now completely different. His teacher was calm and lighthearted. Rafal could not digest it nor understand it. He recovered quickly and continued to deny everything as before, including that he did not recognize the man standing before him. When Rafal turned to the prison cell, he repeated to his friends what had happened, but the boys did not break down, and they resolved to continue with their denials. They believed that the interrogators were using a new method of pressuring them, that the teacher was told to confess to each student, and if every one of them will continue to deny what he says, then they are telling the truth. Therefore, they decided that whatever may happen, they themselves will remain firm in their testimony. They will not admit to even a little bit. They will not incriminate themselves or their friends. They will confirm that while they are Jewish children, they will deny knowing this uncle who is trying to confuse them, and they will insist that they do not know even one another. And so it was. Each student was confronted with their mentor, and to each of them, Ramesha admitted that he was their teacher. But each one of them stood bravely by their initial claim that they did not recognize him. They had been merely sitting together and he gave them some vodka. The Jewish interrogator, who in his youth learned in yeshiva, realized he had to switch tactics. He began to turn to the boy's conscience. He turned to Heschel and challenged him sternly. "Is that what is written in the Torah? Is that what they taught you? Are you allowed to lie brazenly in front of your teacher? Your teacher is telling the truth. He won't let a false word out of his mouth, and you dare to lie and say things that contradict the words of your teacher?" Heschel thought for a moment and then replied, "I will not say that I know someone whom I do not know only because you want it or because this man wants it." The interrogator was furious and gave Heschel a stinging slap across the face. Only the interference of another investigator spared him from further blows. Then, the rest of the boys each had their turn. They, too, were asked similar questions and threatened in a similar manner. Tensions rose, and the interrogators showed signs of anger. At some point, when it became apparent to the investigators that all the boys were insistent with their negative replies, "They do not recognize, they don't know," one of the officers pulled out a revolver. He directed it towards the boys and threatened to pull the trigger if they will continue their denials, and then no one will know where your bones got lost.